2nd of January 2011, the first Sunday of a new year. I'm sure many of us have considered the beginning of the year and considered the resolutions that we want to make, and I'm sure many of those resolutions have been broken. But I think it's always good at the beginning of a year to consider where we're at in life and to remind ourselves of our position if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage ourselves of the glorious things that we believe. If you're not a believer, then obviously the beginning of a new year is a solemn time for you to consider what this year might hold. Will you in fact see the end of this year? Are you prepared to meet your Maker? But for those of us who are believers, it's good to go back to the Bible and in a way to ask ourselves, what do we really believe? What are the truths that give us security in our faith and in effect give us security in the lives that we live? It's for that reason this morning that I want to concentrate on a verse that we read together from Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 says this glorious truth, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Iniquities is just a big word, if you like, for sins. It's just a particular description of the way that we turn away from the teaching of God's word. But I want to say to you this morning that this verse, or the message of this verse, is the most important message or the most important piece of information that you will hear this year or in your life. Your response to this verse will determine your eternal destiny. Incredible things to say, but that's the reality of it. It is God is speaking. The writer to the Hebrews is actually quoting the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. So God has said this in the Old Testament, and the writer to the Hebrews, whether it's Paul or somebody else, that's unimportant. The author of Scripture is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has taken the author of this letter and he said, look, I want you to remind the Hebrew believers in the New Testament period and every believer who will live until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am a merciful God and that I am willing to actually forget their sins. Probably many of you know from the way I've preached that Stuart Olliott has had an incredible influence on me and continues to do so. And Stuart, in his book, Preaching Pure and Simple, says that there came a time in his life when his thinking was totally revolutionized when it comes to preaching. And it was revolutionized by three simple words: state, illustrate, and apply. And he said every message that is preached from God's word has to do that. It has to state the truth, it has to illustrate the truth, and it has to apply the truth. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to state to you clearly the message of this verse. Let me repeat it. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. That's the message stated. That's what God wants us to hear this morning. It's a truth that is supported in other parts of Scripture. For example, Romans 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian this morning, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you were rushed into eternity this morning, you would have nothing to fear. God would not condemn you if you are in Christ Jesus. When John wrote his first letter, he put it in this way. He said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He also said alongside that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is the message that is contained within this passage. A Christian, in the light of this verse, is a person who is prepared to admit, I am a sinner. The man in the pulpit speaking to you this morning might be 6 foot above you as far as physical stature is concerned, but I'm not 6 foot above you as far as my approach to life and my character. I, like you, am a sinner. I have come to that point in my life where I have understood that I am a sinner who cannot save himself. And every Christian has come to that point. This verse talks about iniquities. This verse talks about sin. A Christian is a person who knows that he or she is a sinner. But this verse also shows us two things about God. First of all, he is merciful. Secondly, he's forgetful. I can imagine people here this morning saying, oh, but Bernard, the great truths taught since the Reformation is that God is omniscient. God knows everything. How can you say that God forgets? The verse says it. I will remember their sins no more. He is merciful because he doesn't treat us as we deserve to be treated. You know, let's be honest. Many of us have got that judgmental streak in us. In fact, in all of us at different times. I'll make sure she doesn't forget that. I will make sure that he gets his comeuppance. I'll make sure that justice is executed. But this verse says to us, no, God is merciful. He will not deal with us in the way that we deserve to be dealt with. And we have this great fact that God is willing to forget. Friends, I hold unswervingly to the teaching that God is all-knowing. Isaiah says to us that God knows the end from the beginning, from the ancient time, things yet not done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. But you say, Bernard, how can these two truths stand together? God knows everything, God knows the end from the beginning, and yet he forgets. He will not remember our sins. How can those two things stand together? Well, friends, it all hangs on the fact that God says, when he says, I will remember their sins no more, he is actually saying, I have asked somebody else to deal with their sin. I will not remember your sin because somebody else has dealt with your sin. I do not need to judge the Christian again because I have already judged somebody else. You know, it's terrific, isn't it, when we get given a ticket for a concert or for a match and we say, how much does it cost? Nothing. Somebody else has paid it for you. And that is what this verse is all about. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we have failed. Yes, we deserve the judgment of God, but somebody else has paid the cost. Somebody else has carried the responsibility. The Apostle Peter, who knew a lot about the forgiveness of God, was able to write in his first letter, "He bore our sins in his body on the tree." That's where the price was paid. Jesus Christ took responsibility for our sins when he was crucified on Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment, which gives us peace, was laid upon him. God is able to forget because somebody else has paid the price. God will never overlook sin. Don't misread this. Don't say, "Oh, let's forget that." That isn't what God is saying. God is saying, "Yes, I've recorded that sin. Yes, I've recorded that thought." As I was saying to the children this morning, God looks at the heart. God does not overlook sin. But somebody else has taken responsibility. All sin has to be punished, either in the guilty person or in the gracious substitute. Friends, let me say it clearly and lovingly. Either you will take responsibility for your sin, or the Lord Jesus Christ will take responsibility. It will not be ignored. And that is the glorious message of this verse this morning. God will be merciful because the Lord Jesus Christ has died in the place of sinners who confess their sins, who are willing to call upon him. Now, friends, this isn't a new teaching. This isn't something that comes up simply in the New Testament. No, you can go back to the Old Testament. Take, for example, Psalm 103. It says this: "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." When I was in Papua New Guinea, I used to use this as an illustration. I used to say, "I am such an awful sinner that God took me from the opposite side of the earth and he took me to Papua New Guinea in order that I might be separated from my sins, the mistakes that I had made." But that is a poor illustration in a way of what God has done. But the illustration is there. God separates us from our sin. He says Christ has taken responsibility for it. Micah, the Old Testament prophet, says, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." And treading underfoot is not simply crushing them, but it's the idea of being on muddy ground and dropping something onto the ground and then stepping it down into the mud, to be lost, to be covered over, to be separated. God actively separates the confessed sins of his people from them. That's what it means when he says, "I will remember their sins no more." He takes our sins and he says they've been dealt with. Because they have been dealt with, because Christ has paid the price, I don't need to remember them anymore. That's where we make a mistake so often in the Christian life. We confess our sins today, and then the accuser of the brothers, Satan, comes to us and says, "But remember what you did yesterday. Remember what you did 10 years ago." Satan wants to keep reminding us. But God says, "No, it's been dealt with. I won't remember them, so please don't you remember them." The Psalms teach this great truth. Jeremiah, from where this passage is taken, teaches this great truth. And this whole quotation comes from what we call the promise of the new covenant, which was recorded for us in the Old Testament. God says, I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Friends, that is the truth stated. That is the message stated. We as a church believe that no human being needs to carry responsibility for their sin because the Lord Jesus Christ has already done it. So that's the message stated. But I want to give you an illustration of that message now. I want to give you a picture of somebody who experienced this forgiveness. Because the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't only forgive our sin and say, okay, you sit there now and sit there quietly. You've been a terrible sinner. I'm willing to forgive you, but just sit there. There's nothing more for you to do. I cannot use you because you've made such a mess of your life. No. The message illustrated. And I want to take you to a man that I've made reference to already, to a man called Simon Peter. The passage that I want us to look at in particular as an illustration is John 21. God willing, this evening, I will look at John 20. But in John 21, we've got a man who was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd been out on preaching tours. He'd entered into theological discussions with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been vehement in his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'd said, I will never desert you. I won't turn my back on you. And yet, three times, the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in this chapter, which is recording events that took place after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, we read these words, John 21 and verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. So they said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just a statement of facts? No. I believe that we've got a man here who has begun the Christian life. For 3 years, he's walked with Christ. For 3 years, he has been effective in ministry. He's been learning. But there came a point in his life when he made such a huge mistake, he thought he'd blown it. Have you got to that point? I have. I've blown it. And when we think that we've blown it, we think there's no forgiveness. But remember the passage that I have been explaining to you this morning. I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Peter says, I'm going fishing. He'd walked away from his boats 3.5 years before. He'd left it. But he'd made such a mistake in denying the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, there's nothing more for me to do. I can't be a preacher. I can't tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ because I've denied him. I've sworn. I've told lies. I've turned my back on him. I cannot be forgiven. I'm going back. Do you feel like that this morning? Do you feel as though you've made such a mistake? You can't go forward? Remember. Remember not your sins, but remember the promise of God. I will remember their sins no more. Peter had come to the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of his life, and he'd said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Depart from me, because I am a sinful man. In Matthew 16, Peter had tried to prevent Jesus going to the cross. and Jesus had actually called him Satan. Here, Peter has tried to go back to his old business, but without the Lord Jesus Christ, he couldn't even catch one fish. Friends, if you've walked with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're tempted to go back, I want to say to you, you will never cope without him. I want to say to you, if you're not converted, you will never cope in eternity without him. Peter tried to go back. But Jesus met with them. He appeared on the seashore. And he says to them, have you caught anything? No. Well, throw your net over to the opposite side of the boat. And when they threw the net over, there were so many fish they could hardly carry them back in. And what do we find in verse 12? Well, Jesus is on the beach. He's made a fire. And he says, come and have breakfast. What's Jesus doing? He's taking Peter back to that night. When was it? A few days ago? A few weeks ago? We're not told how long ago it was. But he's taking him back to that night when he'd stood round another fire. And he had denied that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says to him, come to the fire that I've prepared. Now, fires aren't as important in our culture now as they once were. But in more basic cultures, the fire is important. It's a place where you get your warmth. It's a place where you meet fellowship. And Jesus is saying to Peter, come, sit around my fire. I know you sat around that other fire, but you can sit around this one. And he's beginning a period of restoration. He gives them bread and fish that he has already prepared for them. Has Jesus ignored the sins of Peter? No, he hasn't ignored them, because he paid the price for them on the cross of Calvary. But notice also in verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Three times Jesus asks that question. He doesn't ask anything else. He says, do you love me? And that's what he asks you this morning. He doesn't ask you if you can explain the complexities of biblical teaching. He doesn't ask you if you pray X number of times a day. He says, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Does Jesus say to him, okay, well, sit down. I'm willing to forgive you. Sit down. Don't make any other mistakes. No, he doesn't. Three times he says, feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. When Jesus says, I will remember their sins no more, I will be merciful to them, what is he saying? He is saying, I am able to take lives that have been broken by sin, and I am able to use them afresh. Friends, the first Sunday of 2011, I want to say to you, if your life has been mucked up by sin, go to the cross. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. And when he has forgiven you, take the filling of the Spirit that he gives to you and the equipping that he gives to you in order that you might be used to his glory. The message stated is that God will remember our sins no more. The message illustrated is that God not only forgave the sins of Peter, but he took Peter, a man who had made a mess of life, and he used him to preach the gospel to 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, and to Samaritans, a mixed race of people, to Gentiles, who until the New Testament had been kept at a distance. They'd not been pushed out, but they were at a distance. And Peter was used to tell them that they could come. verse 19, Jesus, having had a wider discussion with Peter, says to him, "Follow me." Friends, I don't know where God is going to lead you in 2011, but he says to you, "Follow me." He says to us as a church, "Follow me." Follow me in the light of this truth. So, I've stated the message. I've illustrated the message. And in reality, as I've gone through this morning, I've been applying the message. But I don't want anybody to leave here this morning uncertain of the application. And there are two applications that I want to bring. The first is an application of comfort. I've already made reference to the fact that Satan is the accuser of the brothers. That's in Revelation chapter 12. He will constantly remind us of our failures. And when we concentrate on our failures, we will be weakened and we will not be able to serve our God. But I want to comfort you this morning. I want to comfort you as an individual, not your husband, not your wife, not someone sitting next to you, but you who are a Christian this morning and who have made mistakes in your life. I want to remind you that on the cross he paid the price and he took your sins off your shoulders and put them on him. And the message for you this morning is a message of assurance. It is a message of forgiveness. It is a message that your sins, as the hymn writer says, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." Do you know that this morning? Do you rest in that comfort that you are forgiven? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Believe it, O sinner, believe it. Receive the glad message, 'tis true. Trust now in the crucified Saviour, salvation he offers to you. I give you that comfort this morning on the basis of this word. But the second application is by way of challenge. This morning, I'd imagine that all of us in this congregation have said together the words of the Lord's Prayer. I led us. I know some of you may not have said it. But in that prayer, we said together, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Did you pray that? You asked God to forgive your trespasses. But friends, are you willing to forgive the trespasses of another? Is there somebody and you say, "I cannot do it"? Friends, I want to say to you, if you are withholding forgiveness to another, you're doing yourself more damage than you could ever imagine. I thank God for an old man. He's in the glory now. I was going through a very difficult time in the early years of my missionary career. He was a widow. He invited me to his home and he said to me, "Bernard, I appreciate the battles that you fought. I stand with you in them. But don't let those battles make you bitter. Forgive and move on." Are you prepared to do it, friends? Jesus says, "Your sins I will remember no more." the omniscience of God says he cannot forget. The only way he can forget is by giving it to another. Friends, we cannot forget when we've been hurt, but we can actively remove it from our lives by saying, I won't mention it again. I won't remind that person. I won't speak to somebody else about it. That is what it means when we apply this message. We will not remind ourselves or anybody else. Remember God's approach to forgiveness. He sends our failures to the ends of the earth. He buries them in the depths of the seas. He does it. He's the forgiver. But you might say, I've been sinned against. Friends, if you want to be the forgiver, you have to say, I will not bring these things to mind. I will not bring them to my lips. Are you prepared actively to put away the sins of others so that we might go forward together? So at the beginning of 2011, let me ask you, are you enjoying the forgiveness of Christ? The forgiveness that you have received, are you willing to pass on to other people? Those of you who have responsibility in the church, in Sunday school, in Rock Junior, Rock Senior, mums and toddlers, women's meetings, men's meetings, this is the message that God has called us to preach in 2011. I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Will you come and ask for forgiveness this morning? Will you be willing to forgive? I trust that you will, so that we as a church might not be held back, but that we might go forward with our God. Let's take up the theme of this message in our final hymn this morning, where